You're here in Naas for the annual general meeting of the vocations directors. How are things in general with vocations?
We are here in beautiful County Kildare for the annual conference of the Irish Diocesan Vocations Directors. I think anyone who is aware of the life of the Church at the present time is conscious that we're going through a time of crisis. The Pope was quite explicit about that, not just referring to Ireland, but referring to the Church in much of Western society. So it is a time of change from the model of church that we had in the past, and a time for creating a new model of church into the future. So it is really an exciting time to be involved in laying foundations for a different way of being Christian in what for many countries is a post-Christian society. However, these events, the annual gatherings of the vocations directors, are important to share ideas, but to give encouragement to one another. In terms of ideas that you can use, but also in terms of having the confidence to go out and not to be discouraged, because it can be quite lonely, as it can be for an individual priest in a parish, similarly for a vocations director who feels they're not getting a lot of response. However, strange as it may seem, there's that constant trickle of people coming in. For example, last Saturday we had our Come and See Day in the seminary in Belfast. We had 13 guys came along, all interested in finding out, all prepared to say to their mates, I'm taking a day out of what I normally would be doing to go from 10 to 4 into the seminary to spend time there with other guys. And I sensed a real energy among them. Probably I saw it also in World Youth Day, where there were a good number of entirely intelligent, capable young people who were almost saying the church isn't asking enough of us. We want to do big things. We want to pray, we want to be involved in service, we want to discern God's way forward for us, we want to build community, and not be preoccupied with so many of the things that people assume church is preoccupied with. The younger generation in their 20s, it seems to me, are really much more orientated towards the future than towards the past. And it's important we get those messages across to one another on an occasion like this.
I suppose in many ways we're living in a society where it's all about consumerism, and there's a danger that, you know, we're being told, you know, buy this, have that, do that, and that it's all about what you have rather than who you are. And maybe it's what you're doing and what the church is offering is something different.
I think certainly the myth of perpetual economic growth that has been burst very quickly. People being told you are what you own, you are what you wear, you are only what you eat, you have no value in your own right. I do know that we're with a younger generation now who are actually facing the prospect of having a lower standard of living than their parents did. So in that sense, it's a real time of crisis for Western culture, with a huge fragmentation in terms of the ability to sustain long-term relationships in so many cases, and people who are being hurt in all sorts of ways and dying in many cases in loneliness. So it's an opportunity for us to speak as Jesus did into broken hearts, a message of good news that people are precious, have a value, because each one is made in God's image and likeness, a dignity A, they haven't got to earn by achieving something, and B, they can't lose despite sin, that the love of God doesn't stop just when someone makes a mistake or takes a wrong turning in life, that the love and forgiveness of God is there, that your life is of enormous eternal beauty and value. Not that God has a plan for each individual person's life, but that God has a dream for what each person could become as part of the wonderful kaleidoscope of human nature and of the world. And I think that really is the good news, to enable people to discover the value and beauty of their own life.
I suppose a lot of people in the year 2011, especially the media, they can look at kind of the church and vocations maybe in a cynical way, and I suppose for a lot of people would still see following a vocation to priesthood or religious life as a very radical choice.
It certainly is a major change in terms of, or a major contrast with what our society commends to us. Be a consumer, entertain yourself, do nice little bits and pieces, but don't take anything too seriously. And I discovered that there still is a coterie of young people who seem to have a desire, a burning desire to do something enormous, to do something wonderful with their lives. People who are keen to go to Lough Derg, people who are keen to discover about the Christian, the Catholic theology of the body, and so on. And I think there actually is a group that are disappointed with what we've been sold as being the best that human beings can do or the best that human beings can hope for. So it is certainly a radical choice. I suppose the great periods of renewal in church history with characters like St. Francis of Assisi or St. Teresa of Avila, those people actually did make radical choices and their memory is still retained. Many of them actually made radical choices after a comparatively varied youth, shall we say, or colourful early period in their lives. But I think there is that desire for idealism, for generosity, for service, and it's important that we respond to that highest aspiration of human beings rather than assuming we must boil everything down to the lowest common denominator. That was not what the Jesus of the Gospel did or said.
Now, you've launched a new vocations app. What is your hope for this new app, which is available from the App Store?
I think experience would tell us that very many people haven't really a clue what vocation means in a society where choice is the key thing. Being chosen doesn't seem to be a very meaningful term. The social media is precisely where young people are. And I think it's a matter of being out there in the forum where they are, in that public forum, in that public theatre, in that public square, being accessible to them, saying, there is a message here, consider it. Look at it to see, does it resonate with who you are and where you are and what your life story is telling you. In other words, the service of this is not so much recruiting, but enabling people to discover what God is calling them to do in the belief that God calls all of us to wonderful things, and enabling people at least to be able to ask themselves that question, even if for the vast majority of them the answer is going to be no, because you have to pass through that stage of actually feeling called to be a disciple of Jesus before you can discover your own individual vocation, and many have never really heard the gospel in all its fullness. So I think it's out there along with so many other voices in the public square saying, this is a question it's worth looking at in your own life. Yes, I'm hoping it will enable people to engage with the question of vocation's discernment, but it certainly is not recruitment. The church is not just one more power block looking to recruit new members. We're out there looking to see what God is calling us to do, because God loves the world. God continues to want to heal the world and is looking for people of idealism and generosity to be part of that movement. I have every confidence this is a wonderful contribution to enabling people to engage with the real important things in life. It's always better to be unhappy with those right questions than happy with the wrong answers. If this helps people to ask the right questions, it'll be a wonderful asset.
How did you discover your own vocation?
I suppose, like so many people, your vocation comes in a very individual way. Mine was one that just gradually developed during my time in school. I liked the idea of church. I was dutiful about my prayers. When it came to careers counselling in my last year in school, I was asked, what do you fancy doing? I said, I think I'd like to be a teacher. And the careers teacher said, ever thought of priesthood? I said, well, I sort of thought of it. Will you give it a try? Okay. So I sort of more or less just slipped into seminary that way. Okay. I was 9 years between entering seminary and being ordained, doing a number of courses. And I had ample opportunity, including a year abroad and some summers working abroad, to work out, was this resonating with me? So there was no one time when it became clear. But I think over that 9 year period, I slowly came to believe, yes, this is the right thing for me. And when it came to decision making time, there was a little chink in a little glimmer of sun saying, yes, I'm nudging you in this direction. I've always looked back to that as a sign that I did so in freedom and with a modicum of maturity. And I'm very grateful that 34 years after ordination, I'm still enthusiastic about it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Brenda. Pleasure.